I wonder whether you struggle with the same old problems over and over again. You don't have to be a Christian to be dissatisfied with yourself. Now, I'm not talking about maybe being dissatisfied with looks or weight or our height or anything like that, but just who we are. Dissatisfied with the same issues, struggling with them over and over again. It might be anger or resentment or jealousy or bitterness or doubt, continual nagging doubt, doubting God's goodness. It might be impatience. It might be addiction to various substances. They could be illegal substances. They could be legal substances. They could be something as simple as coffee. It could be something that we just can't bypass a bakery without going in and buying something sweet and sickly. And we're mastered by substances. And you think, this, I shouldn't be like, why can't I leave this stuff behind me? Or it may be a sense of fear of people, wanting others to think well of you. And so instead of being truthful, we find ourselves always thinking, well, what will they think of me? Well, I'll say something that they'll be impressed with. And then perhaps you go away and think, why did I do that? Do you ever feel like you're always sorry, always failing, and there's no improvement in you? You find yourself wrestling with the same old stuff over and over and over again. And you perhaps feel like giving up and saying to yourself, well, this is just who I am. One writer I was reading on this said, every time we turn over a new leaf, we find ourselves on the same page. You think, fresh start, New Year's resolutions. Yeah, right. March comes and they've all gone. Is there an answer? Are we trapped being me? Well, last week here we started a mini-series on the resurrection and its significance, mainly because at Easter I had been reading a book on the resurrection and was really challenged by the fact that I've always treated it and preached it to show us the truth of the gospel, or to convince doubters or skeptics or atheists that the gospel's true, that Jesus existed, that he died, that he rose again, and that this is significant to help us to believe. But the book I was reading over Easter said it's way more than that. It is that, but it's bigger. And there is great significance of the resurrection for Christians to help them live and follow Jesus. And that's where we find the answer to our questions about growing and changing. The answer is far bigger than we imagine. It's not just try harder. Try harder isn't really much help. You've been trying hard. The answer is bigger because the problem is much worse than we thought. Our lives don't simply need a touch-up job. You know, you come in and somebody just touches up a little bit of paintwork here and there in the house. They fluff up a few cushions on the sofa and they dust a few shelves and they go, da-da, there you go, lovely and new. And they, as they always seem to do in these programs, they put a bit of wallpaper on your cupboard doors and they say, look, you've a whole new kitchen. You think, no, it's the old kitchen just papered over. Well, that's not what God does to his people. More so, God comes in and he starts to renovate, to take an old dilapidated building, to knock down a few walls here and there, and to rebuild, to rewire, to replumb. Sometimes it seems like it's getting messier before it gets better. But there's new life. And that's what the resurrection is about. And Paul tells us here that the resurrection is not just a past event in the life of Jesus. That's true. But it's more than that. It is something that has happened to you if you're a Christian. The life of Jesus Christ has come crashing into your life to give you new life. And Paul can say in our opening verse in Colossians 3:1, you, if you're a Christian, have been raised with Christ. You have been raised with Christ. And that is going to give us four things to think about this morning. As we think, last week we thought about a new record, this week about a new life, raised for a new life, so that you can have a new life. If you want a really good book on the resurrection and its implication for Christians, there's one by Sam Albury. It's called Lifted, and there's large bits of it I've lifted for this sermon, or lots of his ideas. It's such a good book, so let me recommend that to you. The first thing that we're going to see this morning, resurrection means new life. Jesus' resurrection means new life. How is it that you're a Christian? How is it that you're looking forward to eternal life? How is it that you are looking forward to the resurrection of your body? How is it that this is the case? It's the case because you already have eternal life. If you're a Christian, you already have it. If you're a Christian, to use the Bible's language, you've been born again. And that new birth, that fresh start, was nothing less than the breaking in of resurrection life into your soul, and it's starting to blossom and grow. That's what happened. One writer says this: if the cross were the only work of Jesus, then we'd be forgiven corpses. But through the resurrection, the very life of God has broken into this world to give us life that is new in character and eternal in duration. The very life of God has broken into this life to give life that is new in character and eternal in duration. The very life of God has broken into this world. That's God's way. That's what God does. That's how God works. You think of the creation. There was nothing, and God brought new life out of nothing. Think of Abraham and Sarah. Abraham as good as dead. Sarah's womb, Paul tells us in Romans 4, was also dead. Did it stop God? No. New life from deadness. Think of Rachel. Think of Samson's mother and father. Think of Hannah. New life from barrenness. This is what God does. It's like looking at an artist and looking at an array of paintings by the artist. And you can see the artist's style. And you would know whose is whose by looking and going, ah, there's his trademark. There's how he does that. This is how God works. He brings new life out of nothing. He brings it, new life. John the Baptist, his mother and father, barren wounds again. He brings new life when he raises people from the dead to filled tombs, to rotten tombs. He brings new life. That's what this God does. And he does it with the birth of Jesus. And he does it with the resurrection of Jesus. New life from nothingness in the womb of Mary and in the tomb in the garden. And he hasn't stopped. He keeps on doing it. It's reached a pinnacle with Jesus Christ, but it didn't reach a conclusion with Jesus Christ. Because every Christian, every person who's become a Christian from whenever till wherever, new life, the signature of God, the signature work, the trademark of God is in that. He is bringing new life into their hearts. Ephesians 2. You were dead in transgressions and sins in which you used to live. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. Made us alive in Christ. God gave new resurrection life. If anyone is in Christ, new creation, Paul says. If you're a Christian, the incredible truth is that you've been made alive with resurrection life. You're not simply the old you who has a ticket to heaven. Sometimes that's how we think of it. Oh well, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to get in, and I'm going to get in free because of what Jesus has done. But that's not it. You're not simply the old you who has a pass into heaven. You're a new creation that God is renovating and changing on the way to heaven. That's what this new life does. There is the same sort of transformation that happened in the tomb in Jerusalem on Easter morning, happened in your life the day you became a Christian. Isn't that just incredible? You know, on that day, you can imagine the angels standing, peering over the edge of heaven into the garden in Jerusalem and seeing the tomb opened and seeing Christ alive, and they would be amazed. And you wish you'd been there. But you were there for a resurrection. Otherwise you wouldn't be a Christian. And on that day, the angels peered over the edge of heaven with the same awe and amazement as God smashed into the cold tomb of your heart and brought out life, new life in you. Resurrection means new life. You need to stand and marvel at that moment and see that a decisive change has happened. Satan wants you to forget it if you're a Christian. He wants you to think that you're just the old you, no hope of change, just plodding along, and well, life will be tough and it'll be a mess, but you'll get to heaven. No, that's not true. And if you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, this is why people can't save themselves, why you can't save yourself. It takes nothing short of God's resurrecting power to smash into your life and to give you life, so that you can go to heaven. That's why you can't do it. It takes that to do it. It's like trying to use a tiny little 1.5 volt battery to try and power, you know, the country's electricity system. It simply doesn't have the juice. You don't have the juice. You don't have the goodness that it takes to get to heaven. You're dead. You're like a battery that's flat. Not possible for you to do anything that impresses God. But God says, I'll give you life. And as it were, the great lightning flash of God's power comes from heaven and creates life in your heart. If that's where you're at this morning, cry out to Jesus and say, look, will you come and will you give me new life? Will you give me this new life? Resurrection means new life. Secondly, resurrection means a new perspective. Resurrection means a new perspective. Imagine somebody who has been blind for all of their life. And then they have miraculously, or perhaps through technology, their eyesight restored. And you see them with their new eyesight. And this is, they're going along like this. What are you doing? Open your eyes. Use your eyes. You can see now. Stop living the old way, or they've got their stick out and they're feeling ahead to see how far something is away. You say, no, you've been made new. Use your eyes. See differently. So it is for the Christian. Resurrection means that we have a new perspective. We read it in Romans 6. It tells us that we have been raised with Christ. It says that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Paul writes, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. He says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. He says, sin shall no longer be your master. In Colossians 3, we read these words. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You're not an earthly person anymore. So take your mind's attention and your heart's affection and set it on God's things. That's your new perspective. And we need to keep working at that, because Paul says, set your minds. He doesn't say your minds automatically go there. We need to work hard to think of who we are and how God has made us. He's made us new. We are to leave the old habits of thought and affection behind and to think like new people. And it'll take work. It's not automatic. Set your mind on things above. Romans 6, count yourselves dead to sin. You've been raised with Christ, says Paul. You can't stick that in your back pocket and just go on with life. Put your heart and mind to work. Think like a risen person. Think like a person who's now awake. The Christian has moved from darkness to light, from sleep to being awake, from spiritual death to life in Christ. The gospel of the death of Jesus has acted as an alarm clock. His word has broken into your life and it has woken you up. So leave the dreamy thoughts of the sleep of death behind and start to look at the new day of resurrection life with an awakened mind. You know, get your head wakened up, Paul's saying. We're now awake and we need to think about being awake. We need to remind ourselves that we are resurrection people. We're going to have to think differently to remind ourselves that the old way of life is gone, that we're new people, that sin is not our master. It likes to bluff that it is. Oh, you have to do this. You're not strong enough. This is just who you are. You need to tell yourself and to remind yourself, I don't have to sin. I have new life. Yes, habits need to be broken, but sin is not your master. Can you see places where you forget that you're a resurrection person? Can you see places where you give in? Places where you think, this is just who I am, and sin seems inevitable? We need to remind ourselves that we are resurrected people, that we have a new way of looking and thinking. Vaughan Roberts writes, he says, about a student who had been listening to a set of talks on the resurrection, and he said this, one student told me afterwards that he had begun a habit of starting each day by reminding himself that Christ has risen. Now that I've been gripped by that truth, I feel like a new man. My understanding of myself, the future, and the world I live in have all been completely transformed. You get up in the morning, tape it to your bathroom mirror. Jesus Christ has risen, and I am a new creation. Jesus Christ has risen, and I am a new creation. Read it. Think about it. Let it sink into your head. A new perspective. A new perspective. Resurrection means a new perspective. Resurrection means a new lifestyle. Resurrection means a new lifestyle. The guy that gets new eyesight is going to start living differently from the person who's blind. It's going to change how he lives, not just how he sees the world, but how he lives in the world. New lifestyle. We have a new day. We're now up. The sunlight is streaming through the curtains of your soul. New life is coursing through your veins. The night time is gone and the day is here. It's time to get up and get dressed. To put on righteousness, to put on obedience, and to put on godliness. That's what we're to do. Otherwise, as Sam Albury says, to forget to do this and to head out into the day of resurrection life without having changed our clothes is like striding into the boss's office or out onto the farm in your pyjamas. You just don't do that. You don't go out to work in your PJs. Paul's saying here, don't go out to live for Jesus in the old clothes of sinfulness. You have a new life. Get dressed. Put on godliness. Let it change your lifestyle. Look at what he says in verse 5. Put to death. Oh, that takes effort. Other than the old blue bottle and certainly any wasp that comes across my path, I haven't put too many things to death. But if there was a snake or a large rat in the house, it would be a battle, and I could imagine it being messy, and I'm going to beat the living daylights out of it. It's going to take effort. It's not going to be pretty. That's the idea Paul has here. Fighting sin is not easy and it's not pretty. Put it to death. Batter the living daylights out of it. It's got no place in your new lifestyle. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, because you're now a heavenly person. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Verse 8, rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, malice, rage, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self, that's practices, there go the old clothes, the old life, and put on the new self. You've got new life, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. New resurrection means new lifestyle. Jesus doesn't just save us from the penalty of sin. He's saving us from sinning. From sinning. He's changing us. And he's working in us. And we are to work with him in this. We are called to new conduct. That quote I had at the beginning. Through the resurrection, the very life of God has broken into this world to give us life that is new in character. New in character. You've got to think, I'm new. That's the previous point, new perspective. I'm new. And then you've got to fight like a new person. Fight the old life because you've got new life. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Let's just look quickly and briefly at the categories that Paul has here. New life fights old desires. New life fights old desires. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. He moves from the really, called the really crude, to the really subtle. And we all fit in there. We've old desires. Some of them are really blatant, and some of them are really subtle. And they can both be in the same person at the same time. And sometimes as we've moved on the Christian life, we can leave the really blatant and crass behind us, but we're not dealing with the really subtle. Sexual immorality is listed here. Impurity refers to the thought life of the believer. Sexual immorality, physical and open sin sexually. Impurity is referring to our internal thoughts and desires and what we're doing there. Use of internet pornography and the like. The things that we watch on TV. Old desires, we're to fight them with new life. Paul says lust, it's not simply sexual lust here. It's cravings and desires that are running unrestrained and unchecked and we just give in to them. Paul says fight them, put them to death, batter the living daylights out of them with the new life that you have in Jesus Christ. Bludgeon them to death. Take a big club and batter them. And keep battering them. Fight with them. Not letting you win. Evil desires. Desiring what's not allowed. Greed. Not just simply for food. The word can also be translated coveting. Oh, how subtle. Wanting what God hasn't given to us. So bad that we would devote all our planning and thinking to it. That it sits in our minds, gnawing at us, so that we're not content with the life God has given. Gnawing at us so that we begin to get angry at God that he hasn't done what we wanted him to do. Oh, it's subtle. But it's an old desire from the old life. Fight it. Bludgeon it. With the new life that Christ has given you. You're not made to be a stomach that cries out, feed me, feed me. You were made to be in relationship with God. That's what this new life is. We live in a world that worships the appetites. Not just food, but sex and the appetite for fame and money and pleasure. As if they were king. And instead people become the slaves of them. The Christian has been raised to new life, in which old desires don't belong. No more appropriate are those desires than the desire that a spaceman has to nip outside for a smoke. Doesn't belong. Can't do it. How can he do that? It's not part of his new life. Doesn't fit in. Fight the old desires with new life. Fight the old attitudes with new life. Anger, rage, malice. We're to fight the old attitudes. Many more could have been added. Our attitudes to other people. Our jealousy. Our anger. Our bitterness. Our resentment at them having things that we don't have. We're to fight them and realize, but I've got new life. And the new life I have is the life that my Father has given to me, and He's working in me what's best. Fight the old words. New life fights the old words. Slander, filthy language from your lips, lying, verse 9. It's all gone. The bottom line is the resurrection means things have to go. They have to go. There has to be change. And the change comes because there's new life coming through our lives by the work of the Spirit. And it's changing us. And we are to work with the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, to follow His instructions so that new life begins to show in our lives. That means things may have to go. Are there people that you need to leave behind because they keep trying to pull you back into the old life? They're trying to pull you back into the grave from which you've been resurrected. I know, that's not a pleasant thought. Come back into the grave where I am. Leave them behind. Perhaps some of the young people, maybe your friends at school, and you know that they have no desire for Jesus at all. And in fact, they're more interested in getting you to join them in their sinfulness so they can pull you down too. And there comes a time when you have to say, right, I'm not hanging out with them anymore. Because I'm a new person. I have a different way of living. Are there people whose numbers you need to delete from your phones? Are there places you need to stop going? It might be physical places. It might be websites. It might be buttons on your satellite TV, remote control. It might be magazines. It might be music that you listen to that shapes you and fills you with dead thoughts from a dead life. New lifestyle. Resurrection means new lifestyle. And fourthly, resurrection means new power. Resurrection means new power. Thank God for that. Because otherwise this would surely just be too much. You'd be saying, Mark, I can't do it. I can't do it. But this is not good advice. That's what religion is. This is good news. And the good news of the gospel is not simply that you have been given new life and you're told to live it by your own strength. New power. The resurrection means new power. Listen to this incredible verse from Romans 8. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. And that doesn't mean simply at the end of time, whenever you leave here and you're going to get a resurrection body on the day that Christ returns. Because Paul goes on to say here, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Perhaps you're wondering, how am I to bludgeon this desire to death? What's the club that I use? Well, where does the strength come from to batter it to death? The Spirit lives in you to enable you to live for Jesus. We do not fight alone. Satan's great lie, he says to you, you can't do it. You can't do it. And he's right, you can't do it. But it's not about you. You have new life. The Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is in you to help you. When someone becomes a Christian, a spiritually dead person is joined to a spiritually alive one, to a life-giving one. The resurrection Spirit is the one by whom we fight. We have the Spirit. And we need to tell ourselves God is in me to help me and to change me. How does this work out? In temptation, sin feels good. It seems perhaps easy. It seems like an old familiar friend that we've done business with in the past. And it feels inevitable, like that old friend that you just can't say no to. They come around looking for a favour and you think, oh, can't say no to them. Temptation seems like that to us. It's at this point that you need to remember the resurrection. That sin is not a friend. That sin is not inevitable. That sin does not call the shots in your life anymore. You're not bound to give in. Bad habits of many years can be changed. Not because you're great, but because the Holy Spirit gives life and gives help. And don't say to yourself, I must try harder. That's not it. Go to your God and ask Him. And say to yourself, I have been made alive in Christ. I don't have to sin. And God, will you help me in this moment? I'm being tempted beyond what I can bear. He'll say, well, I'll stop so you're not tempted beyond what you can bear. And I will be faithful. And I will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. There is new power that Satan doesn't want you to know about. Don't let him con you. You know, so frustrating whenever you've been doing something to realize that there's a far more powerful way to do it. Like hosing down your yard and then finding that your next door neighbor is a pressure hose. Spend all afternoon at this. Why could I not just have borrowed his thing? Well, the Holy Spirit is there to help us in battle. Resurrection life is a battle. But the triumph will be ours as we fight with the two truths that we've looked at so far. One, you have an indestructibly clean record before God. So don't let guilt cause you to sin more. And two, you have undefeatable power from God. Satan wants you to forget both, so that you give in. And you don't live like a new person, but you live like an old person. The whole way till you get to heaven. You bring dishonor to Christ. You live in denial of the new life that He's given. Satan wants that because it makes a mockery of what Jesus has done. Will we let Him? Will we let Him win by swallowing His lies? No. Let's get up in the morning and remind ourselves that Jesus Christ has risen and I am a new creation and the Holy Spirit lives in me to help me live for Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank You for Your Word. How we thank You for how it tells us the way things are in us, because we simply don't get it. We forget. And Father, we pray that You would help us to live for Jesus, that You would help us to live with resurrection life and to rely on the Spirit to help us to fight sin and temptation. We know we can't do it, but we thank You that with the Holy Spirit we can. And help us to battle and to fight and not to give in. Help us to battle the obvious sins. Help us to battle the subtle, soul-destroying ones as well. And help us to live in such a way that the new life that is in us can be seen by those around us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.